Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, I am introducing a new company on the site. This company I have been following fairly closely for the last at least 6 months as they have progressed through a feasibility study, which we now have some of the numbers on. I am introducing Ascot Resources, traded on the TSX under the symbol AOT. And on the OTCQX under the symbol AOTVF, I'm chatting with the president and CEO, Derek White. Now, Derek, let's start off by outlining and highlighting some of the numbers from the feasibility study. Just to get everyone up to speed, Ascot's project is the historic premier gold mine in the Golden Triangle in BC. This area has started to get some more interest. We've seen some of the higher quality stocks moving higher, and Ascot's share price has been moving higher recently as well. But some of the numbers here, Derek, from the feasibility, using a $1,400 gold price, you see an after-tax NPV of $341 million, an IRR of 51%, payback period 1.8 years. We're also seeing generally lower CapEx too. Initial CapEx, $146 million. All sustaining capital costs, $157 million. Derek, take us through some of the other highlights and some of the keys that you want to outline from this feasibility study, please.
Corey. So as the new management came in about 2 years ago, we were really focused on trying to feed a centralized mill with high-grade material. We had a resource of approximately 12.8 million tons, and 7.3 was measured and indicated that got converted to the reserves. And so roughly half our resources at 6.2 million tons make up the mine plan that drives the feasibility study numbers. The initial capital that you mentioned, which is lower, really comes from the fact that we have an existing mill here, tailings dam, power plant, road, and we're really kind of modernizing it to, it was built in the 90s, modernizing to 2020 standards. And that's really the main driver of why the capital is so, the initial capital is so low. Production gets going from the Silver Coin and Big Missouri area, and then we bring in Red Mountain and Premier into the year three and four. We peak at about 180,000 ounces a year with miner silver. And that really has been driving the all-in sustaining costs to that low number. And I think we're in the bottom 25% of the world cost curve. And so we saw this as an initial way of getting numbers out there based on the reserves. But certainly a good number to build on. The IRR is really being driven by that lower initial capital and quick payback. So the project for us really had a low CapEx, low operating cost, high IRR, and ability to grow from that basis.
So, Derek, what about the leverage to the gold price? Because as I mentioned, the base case done at $1,400 gold. Gold right now in U.S. dollar terms is, well, $1,750 and around that area. Plus, you guys are in Canada, so the currency differential also helping the company here. Share with us a little bit of your guys' calculations on the sensitivity to the gold price, please.
Sure. Yeah. And really, it's both, as you said, the Canadian dollar and the gold price that drive the sensitivities. And to just give people an idea, you know, if we put a box around the gold price from $1,200 to $2,000 an ounce, and we put an exchange rate box from about 0.8 down to 0.7, what we see is at the high end of that, at $2,000 gold and 0.7 exchange rate, we're at an $800 million after-tax NPV and almost 100% IRR. At the spot price today at around $1,750, we're probably in the $650 million NPV after-tax and almost 82% IRR. So big, you know, big move. On the downside, if gold moved back to $1,200 and the Canadian dollar moved back to 0.8, we're at a, just under $200 million NPV and a 31% IRR. So pretty robust project under any scenario, but with the moving gold price and anywhere close to spot, we're talking about double the value or more than you see in the feasibility study. So, you know, nicely leveraged to the gold price rising.
Okay, so I will post a link to this news release below for everyone to catch up on all the numbers. And if you have any questions or comments on any of these results, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Derek, let's talk about the team that is behind this company, yourself included. You guys, from my understanding, are more mind builders. And that was, I believe, the reason why you guys came into this company very recently. Give us a little bit of highlights on your background and some of your other team members.
Sure. You know, I'm an engineer by training and basically have been involved in a lot of building and operating mines in different parts of the world. And from Vancouver and worked abroad for a long period of time. And in 2003, I came back to Vancouver and ended up in a startup called Quadra FNX. And it was a copper gold mining company, which did a similar type of thing. We took over a mine in Nevada called the Robinson Mine, which was shut down on care and maintenance and restarted it. And then built a company around that and added several other mines and ultimately sold the company for about $3 billion in 2012. A number of the other people in the Ascot team kind of joined me in that journey in Quadra FNX. Our CFO was involved from Quadra FNX in the beginning, Carol Lee. John Kiernan, who's our COO, he's a mining engineer with a lot of underground mining experience, also worked with us in Quadra FNX. George Dermer, another engineer. So we have a lot of the former Quadra FNX team that was involved in that process, being re-involved in the Ascot process. And what's the similarity? Similar situation where you have a mine that was shut down by a big company, and we see a low capital restart to get going. And so the team knows each other quite well, pretty confident in our ability to deliver and build mining operations.
All right. So, Derek, in terms of drivers and in terms of overall strategy, I think a lot of people will be wondering then, are you guys simply going to focus on moving this project into construction and then into production? Or is there still some exploration that you're going to undertake? How are you guys planning on moving this company forward?
Well, you know, that's a good question. And sometimes people accuse engineers of just focusing on the boring part of building a mine. But that's not what we're going to do. The head of our VP exploration, Lars Begenro, who actually I worked with in BHP Billiton, when we came into the project, we saw a lot of upside. They had a lot of drilling, but it only drilled about 30% of the project. Today, we have 15 different targets, and we have four very, very good targets that are known resources that we can build on. A high-grade silver area to the north called Silver Hill, areas to the east and west of our existing deposits and also south. And so, you know, this summer we're going to be doing more exploration. We did a financing in February, so we have an opportunity to build on the reserves that we already have through additional exploration. We have roughly 25,000 hectares of ground that's in prime geology within a 20-minute drive of Stewart, and we're going to take advantage of that. So, you know, people should be looking for successful exploration results this summer and into the future. And at the same time, we'll continue to, you know, develop the mine. So we want to do both activities at the same time.
So in terms of exploration, do you guys have targets already prepared, or do you need to still work through some of that?
No, we have four key targets that we're quite excited about. As I said, the Silver Hill in the northeast corner, east of the Silver Coin, and then near the Premier, west of the Premier on both sides of a creek valley. We've had initial drill holes that have gone into some pretty high grade, and we see an opportunity to extend that and make that a lot bigger. And then really the Lost Valley on Red Mountain is our last target. So four key targets for the summer. We have many other targets, but these are the priority targets, which already have indications of pretty good grades and an ability to build more resources.
Now, there is also a component about a feasibility study that some people might not know. And just to catch everybody up, feasibility studies, you're only allowed to include the resources that are classified in the reserve category, which is the most de-risked category. But you do have, another million ounces of gold that are on the books, not in the reserve ounce category. Is there a chance to move these into some sort of a mine plan as well?
Absolutely. And you know, we are restricted by what 43-101 rules will do. And so the highest level of confidence is reserves, which we put into a feasibility study. But we have roughly the same amount of material in resources, and roughly 2.5 million tons of that is within 100 meters or less of the mining infrastructure. And we have a very, very good opportunity to drill that from underground and convert that into the mining plan. So what you see in the feasibility study is just the beginning. You're not even seeing half of the potential here. So, yeah, absolutely, Corey. We do have a really good opportunity to do that. It does take us time to do that from underground, but in an underground mine, it's very normal to convert your resources into reserves. And we may not get 100% of all our resources, but we're going to get a fair chunk of them, which could offer double the amount of gold in the feasibility study that we have now.
Okay, let's get a couple other quick updates more on the fundamentals of the company. In terms of cash in the bank, the company did raise money more or less before this COVID shutdown happened. What kind of cash do you have in the bank, and what kind of run room does that give you for exploration and moving the company forward?
Well, we were very fortunate that we closed the financing of around $10 million in February, just before kind of COVID-19 had come out. And that gives us a little bit over $12 million kind of at the end of the first quarter, or the beginning of the second quarter. That is enough capital for us to undertake our exploration program as we planned it and continue with our engineering studies for 2020.
Now, in terms of share structure as well, we have shares outstanding of about 246 million on a fully diluted basis, about 283 million. What insights can you give us in terms of where these shares are held, either by management or larger positions held by companies or insiders?
Sure. You know, really, I would probably divide it into two parts. So we do have institutional shareholders. Franklin Templeton out of the U.S. is a big shareholder. Eric Sprott is a large shareholder. The Ruffer Group in the U.K. are large shareholders. Earth Resources, large shareholders. When we bought the Jaden asset or Silvercoin, the Wan family in Hong Kong is still a large shareholder. So we have some what I would call institutional shareholders. And then we have a large group of historical retail shareholders that have, you know, largely come out of Canada, especially in Alberta. There's been a large group that have been there. Management and the board probably has about 1%. Obviously we'd like to try and make that bigger once we're kind of ready to go forward. You know, I think the on the fully diluted basis, we have some warrants that came out of the financing that we did in May of 2019, which are coming due in a couple days. And we'll just have to see. We're kind of close to the strike. Ascot's price has moved up a little bit, so we'll have to see where that gets to. Overall, you know, we kind of have a reasonable mix in the shareholder base.
All right, Derek, we're going to wrap it up there. I appreciate this more broad overview of the company. And again, I will post a link to that feasibility study news release. I want everybody who is listening to this, send me your comments, send me your questions. Let me know your feedback on this company that is one of the more advanced projects in the Golden Triangle. And now we have some hard numbers around the project. Derek, thanks for your time today. I look forward to following up with you in a couple weeks. Have a great rest of your week.
Yeah, thank you very much, Corey.